Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This resolution was not new, as you know, that it is three consecutive years that this resolution is revolving in UN. And in fact, from day number one of our revolution, we had resolutions concerning human rights against us, tabled by Western countries, supported by United States. Only for two or three years, we didn't have resolution against us. So for us, it is not any new news or any new event. This is one point. The second point is that human rights recently got, in 2005, a new mechanism in United Nations for its promotion. The main reason was that the previous Commission of Human Rights became a political place, so that human rights was pushed away, and for political manipulation, human rights issue was used. So exclusive for that reason, the Council of Human Rights was created to move out of this political deadlock and give human rights a rather more balanced and impartial treatment. For example, the UPR mechanism, it means that every country routinely, without any exception, should be subject to the human rights review. And this very much annoyed the United States and a number of Western countries. European Union, they don't feel easy with the Council of Human Rights. As you know, United States was not even a member. And after Obama's presidency, they became member. And for the first time, United States was subjected to human rights review, and they had very hard time in Geneva to defend their dismal record on human rights. Well, all of that is enforcing their activity to create another avenue, to use their political means to exploit the human rights against targeted countries like Iran. Well, my impression was that this unpopularity of this resolution was quite clear, because a good number of countries did not participate in different degrees in the support of this resolution. Yes, in terms of number and rules and procedure, this resolution was adopted, which does not bear any obligation to the member states, but it was quite unpopular. The very strong voices has been raised against this resolution, with a huge number in support of Iran, though short of blocking American and Europeans' move. But it is very unfortunate that there is a number of very little states, small states in the Caribbean and in the Atlantic, other places. We call them microscopic states. Their number is something around 20, 25. And they're mostly gathered. They create a block of 25 votes. And some of them, their inhabitants are less than 100,000. But they create this move. If you take this away, their vote is much more lower than that.
The main sponsor behind this draft resolution was Canada and many European states, as well as the United States. What do you think what are the true motives behind this draft resolution? Why singling out the Islamic Republic?
Well, it is true that formally Canada was the drafter of this resolution, but the mastermind of this resolution was and is United States of America, which gathers others around it. We should not be deceived about that. This is the real essence of the matter. Well, the objectives of United States in putting pressure on Iran are multifold objectives. They have rather different plans to push Iran and pressure Iran. But if you ask me for the main reason, I would say it briefly, that the main reason that Iran's new polity, the structure of social and civil structure based on Islamic rationality, a democracy, a new model of democracy, which is not a replica of Western democracy. It is not liberal, neither secular, but it is a democracy which is working. This is the democracy which turned Iran to the leading country in the Middle East in science and technology. This is a democracy that helped Iran to be the first country in the Middle East which has its nuclear power plant working. This is a democracy which took Iran to the space technology, and the only country in the Middle East he has put his own satellite in the orbit, and etc. So they are very much worried about this line. I think not only in the Islamic world, but especially in the Islamic world and other places, I think this model of social and civil structure is getting quite backing. In the Islamic world, people, they don't like the Western type of liberal democracy, but they like the democracy. This is exactly the reason that the United States of America is the number one enemy of democracy in the Middle East. For them, a tyrann, a dictator who is secular and using Islamic sentiment only formally is the best choice. You can just go over and see the situation. This is number one reason for such a huge manipulation against Iran. And the second reason is that we are pursuing an independent policy in the international community. In fact, hostility with the United States is not for us a basic issue. In fact, we do not advocate hostility with any state. We want tension between Iran and United States, like any other country, to be contained, to be decreased, and good relation to be replaced. But good relation does not mean that we should be under the dominance of one country. The blind hostility of United States toward Iran and the wrong definition of their interest in this area is a building block for good relation with Iran. We will resist this type of unjust and unacceptable type of relation with other countries. While this is the challenge in the area. And the third point I should add, United States foreign policy is marking great failures in a lot of places, especially in our area and Middle East. Where they score success, if you go to Middle East and Palestinian issue, you see that consecutive failures, one after another, but they are unable to redefine their objectives, to try a new path. If some designs and some programs failed for 60 years, prudence tells us that we should change it. But the administration in Washington are unable to do that because of the huge impact of the Jewish lobby and Zionist lobby in different sectors of the government of this country. And also in Afghanistan, in my view, United States and NATO forces are at the verge of a defeat, a grand defeat in Afghanistan. It is just more than the result that the ex-Soviet army faced with it in Afghanistan. Their defeat is gravest than the Soviet army. And they are moving toward that. We are in the region. We just monitor the Soviet Union's, ex-Soviet Union's army, Red Army in Afghanistan. And we saw how they have been defeated and what result it has, it had for the Soviet army. So they are not able also either to see that or to change that policy. Poor American citizens, and their money and taxes are spent, and defeat for their prestige and army, an unfortunate killing which is going both ways, numbers of American troops and huge number of civilians in Afghanistan. You can move to Iraq. So you see, this is scores of failure shows American foreign policy is heading toward defeat, to failure, is not working. And this is also true vis-a-vis their relation with Iran.
The West complains that Iran is in at fault in its practices in human rights, torture, stoning, not allowing its opposition to protest and stating their opinion. Give the West a reason to criticize Iran. Is there any merit to these accusations by the West?
Well, unfortunately, these issues has been used as a kind of subjects in a kind of media blitz against Iran. I should say that none of them are well-founded. Let's take the case of Sakineh Mohammadi, which is a famous case. Well, let us compare first Iranian legal system with the legal system United States. In United States, a woman killed her husband, even she was suffering from a degree of retardedness. She killed her husband with the ex, with the aid of a lover. This lady was condemned to execution, capital punishment, and she was executed, finished. The same thing happened in Iran. Sakineh Mohammadi killed her husband with the aid of a person who had extramarital relation, and she was condemned to capital punishment. But capital punishment in Iran goes through a lot of check and balances, twice more as United States. And her case is still open for the revision. And also, the Council of Human Rights of Iran helped a lot to lessen the capital punishment. And we think there is a good chance her life could be saved. This is just compare the two systems. Nothing is coming about the American system, and this much criticism about our system. This is totally shows, even this simple case, which is everybody has read something about it, that how biased and how unrealistic and how hypocrite and malicious is the media blitz against Iran. And there is a lot of things that the Western media, they don't let the people knows about it. For example, execution. In the United States, if somebody murders another body, then he will get capital punishment in some states, and the capital punishment will be executed. But in Iran, Islamic Republic of Iran, over 60% of the capital punishment are called the private right. It means that the state is not after implementation of the execution. It is a right of first degree families of the victim either to forgive or to ask for the capital punishment. So this gives a room that a lot of agencies like Human Rights Council, we enter the game. We go to the first degree family of the victim, start to talk with them. We'll tell them, what is the use of getting revenge? Your beloved has lost his life. Don't take the life of another person. In more than 80% of these cases, we are successful. Even sometimes we gather some money for them through fundraising to convince them that it's better to forgive. So you see that even capital punishment in Islamic Republic of Iran is much more humanely addressed and executed and done than it is in Western countries and like United States.
Okay, well, let me, if you don't mind, I need to ask you about a couple of other issues that the West, including the U.S., always attack Iran with in terms of human rights. Political prisoners and not allowing opposition to protest and state their side of the story, and what follows in as torture. How do you respond to these accusations?
Well, political opposition, which is very common in Iran, just look to the newspapers. And the political opposition right now holds about 6 newspapers, and every day you see articles about their views. And demonstration, they should get permission, and if they can guarantee non-violence, then it is done. I mean, we have numerous cases of demonstration, legal demonstration. Demonstration shouldn't be illegal. They need to get the permission. This is the law. But what they say about putting the people in jail like defenders of human rights, lawyers, things like that, you see that label does not prevent or make immune a person from illegal action. Any person, whether labeled as defender of human rights, labeled as medicine doctor, labeled as carpenter, legal, of any profession. Profession does not prevent that. So anybody who indulges in illegal activity is susceptible and should be accountable in front of the law. Lawyers, for example. A lawyer should spend his time defending his client, not spending his time from going from one capital to another in the European countries to make interviews. This practice is not done in anywhere in the world. Sakine Mohammadi's lawyer never spent the time to visit his client. We in the Human Rights Council are working more to find little holes here and there to help her. But those who claim to be her lawyers, they are flying from one capital to another, making political statements. You can look and ask any legal firm in the world, no lawyer should practice such a practice. So these people engage in such subversive act, they should be subject to law.
Their excuses, though, if I can say, that they're not permitted to meet with their client, and therefore they're seeking out the international community to defend their client in that arena.
This is absolutely lie and incorrect. Even in some cases, that the lawyer should spend the time to make an appeal, they lost it. They didn't do it. And this should be pursued by law. We have numerous cases that the lawyer should spend the time and to make an appeal and go to the appeal court. They never did it. They were busy making interviews in Washington and London and Paris. And there is a deadline for that. They never filed an appeal. And then we asked the person in prison, we as Council of Human Rights, why you did not appeal? He said, I didn't know. I asked the lawyer to do it, and they didn't. I think this should be pursued by law. This is an illegal act. This is misuse of the profession of law and defense. And the legal defense. So I think somebody who carries the title of lawyer should practice that. Otherwise, it doesn't matter that he carries that or not.
Another issue, and I'm sorry to harp on these issues, but I think they need to be addressed directly, which is the state of the minorities inside the Islamic Republic, such as the Baha'iyin or the Sunni minority. Many claim also in the West that their situation is in dire need of help, if not from the government in Iran, at least from outsiders. How do you respond to the state of the minorities within the Islamic Republic?
Well, there is a stark difference between Baha'is and Sunni people. Sunni people are not considered a minority in Iran. They are like any other Iranian. So they are judges, they are universities, they are governmental posts. So Sunnis are not considered minority at all. Baha'ism is not a religion in Iran. The Jews are minority, and they have even members in the parliament. The Christians, they are minority. They have a member in the parliament. Zoroastrians are minority. Baha'is are a cult. And they are governed by the law, which is dealing with different cults. And as far as this cult is not preventing his follower from going out of the cult, they are tolerated. So you can find Baha'i's universities as student, as teacher, There are more than 300 students, BIAS students in our universities. There are professors. They are very affluent people. They have big factories and companies. So they are protected by law according to the law, which we call it citizenship contract. Regardless of their religion, as far as it is within the structure of the law, they get all the protections. But when the trouble starts, that they start to act as a cult, which is closed door cult. It means that people can get in, but they cannot get out. And we had numerous cases. Some young Baha'is, they wanted to leave this cult. They said, doesn't make sense to us. So they have been summoned in meetings, and they were being warned that if you leave this cult, you will be punished. You will be deprived from all the ancestral will. You will be put under pressure. So here the law will come in. And the law will prevent the use of this much exclusive or kind of dominating cult procedure. Any cult, being Baha'i or being Shia, doesn't matter. It will be prevented by law. We had numerous cases of cults practices, even with Shia group. People has been jailed because they were putting people in some farms and not letting them to go out. So we will fight with any cult activity which prevents its followers from the freedom of leaving the cult. Being Shia or being Baha'i doesn't matter.
What about the state of women in Iran, that women are not on equal footing with men in terms of education, pay? They're forced to dress in a certain way that may not want to go with. How do you respond to this also?
Well, Iran's record on the promotion of the rights of the women is glorious. Let me cite a memory from the late Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh. At the beginning of revolution, some people came to Imam Khomeini and said, we should put some ladies in the cabinet, so symbolically we help and promote the status of the women. And Imam Khomeini said in response that women in Iran, they don't need symbolic help. They need substantial real help. And he formulated a policy, a strategy based on three pillars. Number one, Imam Khomeini said, you should invest in their education. Women should get education and high education. Education will be the main asset for women. Secondly, we should modify the laws so it facilitates the emergence of women, their participation in social life. Thirdly, we should indulge in a campaign, in a social public campaign, to let the women know that women are an integral part of our society and they could be quite helpful like any other men in the society. I want to say that this will of Imam Khomeini has been realized, alhamdulillah. Right now, the number of educated women in Iran, as you know, is so high. Those who enter university and attend university is for 5 years the number of girls superseding the number of boys. This year it was 64% of the 100% of the girls accepted for university entrance. And this is fantastic. Women are acquiring the position in the high-ranking position in the government, not by charity. They acquired it by their possibility, by their fight, by their eligibility. Right now we have a lady as Minister of Health. She's a famous gynecologist. She's a famous surgeon. I've been with her in the parliament for almost 10 years. So she acquired this position. So I think there is plenty of substantial areas, substantial issues that should be clarified. And I think the Islamic world and the other communities in the world are getting aware of these things. The time is past. that any Western country to claim that they are the utmost achievement of humanity in life and well-being. Others, they have their own culture, and they will showing new experiences. Multiculturalism is the best diagnose and recipe for better life. Let other cultures to flourish. Why Iranians should not have their experience on democracy? Why we should copy United States, Britain, and France? Why India should copy them? Why China should copy them? The time is past for that. And I'm very much optimistic for the future of world in which no culture wants to impose itself on the others.
Thank you so much.